Well, I was gone 2 days.
You were gone 2 days, but we went slowly and we had ourselves back. We're now up to, B'zrat Hashem, Masechet Sanhedrin, Kaf Aleph. We're on the Mishnah. So we just finished the Mishnah, but let's just review the Mishnah. Mishnah, 5 lines from the top. What do we say? Mishnah says like this. Lo yaber lo nashim. He shouldn't increase for himself wives. Okay? Talking about the king. The king's not allowed to increase for himself wives. What does that mean? Ela shmona esre, only 18. Maximum of 18. Tanakama. Three opinions here. We're going to see. Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Shimon. The Tanakama says 18. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Malbehu lo. He can increase for himself. But provided on condition that they don't turn his heart away. So he can increase above 18 according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says, Afilo hat umasiwa et libo haray ze lo yisalim. Even one, if she turns away his heart, he may not marry her. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon. In Ken, if so, Lamane Amar lo yobe lo nashim. Why does it say he shouldn't increase for himself wives? If, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is a question of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, even one. So then the Gemara asks, or the Mishnah asks on Rabbi Shimon, if so, why does it say then that he shouldn't increase? If the only criteria is you just have to be careful and even one is not, may not be good. Answer, if you look at Abigail, even if she's like Abigail, then it means he's still limited. Meaning Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there is a criteria that you don't turn the heart away, still has an upper limit of 18, even if they're all wonderful, none of them turn your heart away. Even if they're all like Abigail. Even if they're all like Abigail, you even should not have more than 18. Because Rabbi Shimon appears to have said, without that clarification at the end, you might have thought Rabbi Shimon was saying that the only criteria was they don't turn your heart away. Let's write them out, because although it's apparently a very simple Mishnah, it's not so straightforward.
I don't understand the reference to Abigail.
Okay, so that's a good question. Let's explain it. Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon. Nice. So the Mishnah is asking how many wives? How? That's a question. How many wives can a king have? So how many wives can a king have?
Ideally one.
Ideally one. Any other offers so far from the commission? Hanukkah says maximum of 18. Right, Hanukkah says, see that? Ella, Shmona Esrei, only up to 18. Rabbi Yehuda says, he means up to 18. OK? Okay.
So between 1 and 18. But he should be married, right?
That's how I would read the mission. You could read the mission as 18, because we don't 18, you didn't fulfill the mission. But Abiyuda says, Malbelo, no, he can increase, provided they do not send his offering. So if maximum 18, here, more, four, the other ways, today. Even more, provided the okay, so that's Rabbi Buddha. I'm assuming. And Rabbi Shimon.
Isn't there something imperfect about saying the more wise, the more witchcraft?
Yes. Very good. Yes. You read that
here? Yeah, that's what I said. It's jogging my memories.
It's very good. Okay, Rav Shimon says, even one, conditions on whether good or bad women, that's it, irrelevant. But a maximum of 18. Rabbi Yehuda says, even more than 18, provided they don't turn your heart away. Meaning that those after 18 don't turn your heart away. Meaning he's like a Tanakhama up to 18. Up to 18, fine, don't have to worry about it. After 18, you can have more, provided they don't turn your heart away. Right? So like an additional step. After 18. Here he goes to 18. Says yes, after 18, provided those extra ones don't mess you up. Rav Shimon says no. Even the ones before 18 you have to worry about. Because even those can mess you up. So it's just that these two are arguing about when does this criteria kick in, provided it doesn't turn away his heart. This is after 18. This is we need to buy it all. Don't know what he said, but before 18. Well, left that other one.
I mean, don't we have examples of some really, how should I put it, wicked queens?
Wicked kings.
It was Jezebel? Is that?
Good morning. Can you join us for Sanhedrin?
Hello?
Can you join us for Sanhedrin? How many wives can a king have?
What's that?
What's what?
He's an arts girl.
Yes. We'll have the discussion after. But come join us. Do you want to come out? All right. Take a few minutes. Okay, we're talking about how many wives a king have. Should have 18, up to 18, more than 18?
Up to 18, and the regular person have up to 6.
Oh, yeah?
No.
I haven't read up to 6.
What?
I didn't read the regular person, we're only learning the king.
Being a regular person has 6 and a king has 18.
Yeah.
You're showing up, but if you lie, you're going to have 1,000.
So we're learning now in the Mishnah, there's 3 opinions. Tanakhama says you can have a maximum of 18. Rabbi Yehuda says you can have more than 18, providing it doesn't turn your heart away. Rabbi Shimon says no. Even one, if you turn your heart away, you can't marry them. Halakha Lamaise, let's have a look.
Oh, I didn't look at the board.
Analysis. Yeah, apparently, looks like Rabbi Akiva knows what he's talking about in terms of wives. You know your wives. You know your halakha on wives.
Yeah,
Rabbi Akiva. So,
your. Well, we have two things. One is Perkei Avot. The other is an example of some pretty wicked women.
Right. I don't tell you how many. You need to know how many, even though not to have lots or be careful, but then.
But I think the best criteria is Eisha Chayil.
If you can find one. Eisha Chayil Miyam Sah.
You can
find
Eisha Chayil. Right, but once you've found them.
Everyone in this room managed to find an Eisha Chayil, but that was only with Hashem's great help. Tov, let's see what the Gemara has to say about this Mishnah. Kaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top. Gemara says, ask the question, the Maimra, do you want to say, the Rabbi Yehuda Darish Ta'ama, Dikra, the Rabbi Yehuda Darish Ta'ama, he explains the Ta'am, the reason, Dikra, of the verses. Rabbi Shimon lo darish tama, dikra. Rabbi Shimon doesn't darish. He doesn't explain the reason of verses. If you want to say this example, this Mishnah shows us that Rabbi Yehuda does explain the reason of verses. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't. Why not? They both say if it turns your heart away. Okay, so what's the passage? Let's see the passage. The passage that we're trying to explain is Lo Yuvel on Hashem. Hold on. Wait a minute, I think we're missing something. Ah, that's why. Yofi, where's the passage in Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. If you have a Torah Hashem. So the full passage says, Lo yobar lo nashim, lo yasur levavo. You shouldn't increase wives, and that they won't turn away your heart. Right? You shouldn't increase wives in order that they don't turn away your heart. So that's what the passage says. Now, the same Rabbi Yehuda holds by the reasoning of the passage. This is the reasoning of the passage, right? The law is all above all. Therefore, he says, so long as you can comply with that criteria, you can increase. The reason that the passage says here, lo yubelo, right, we're going to see in a minute why 18, right? Nobody just asked the question, why 18? Why does a yubel mean 18? The Gemara is going to come on to that. But let's just take it for granted that the pshat is that it means 18. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what? You don't have to worry about this so long as you're complying with the reason. The reason why Hashem said don't increase wives is because of this, is because they might turn away your heart. Meaning, he learns the halakha according to the reasoning and therefore if the reasoning doesn't apply, the halakha doesn't apply. So halakha has a reason why this one does, that you shouldn't marry more wives. Why not? Because they won't turn away your heart. So Rabbi Yehuda says, ah, okay, so if you're not concerned about turning away your heart, then you can marry more wives. It's the halakha which is conditional on the reason. The reason doesn't apply, so the halakha doesn't apply.
But how can you, for lack of a better word, be that arrogant as to assume that your heart won't be turned away?
Because the Torah tells you, the Pasuk tells you, that the reason is that they may turn away your heart.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
So it's not given as an absolute prohibition, meaning that there's an option that they won't turn away your heart, according to Rabbi Yehuda's understanding. It's not definite. It's not they will turn away your heart, you are not allowed to do it. He doesn't read the passage that way. He reads his passage saying, lest they turn away your heart. Meaning, there's an option that it won't happen. And if you can be assured that it won't happen, for example, that like Abigail is...
Right, but I'm saying is,
then
you want to minimize the amount of damage by minimizing the number of wives.
That would be sensible, but it's not the halakha. It's not the parameters of the halakha. Still need to know what the parameters of the halakha are. You can still be sensible, not push yourself to do something dumb, right?
Right.
You could, like, in the time before Rabbi Gershon, when you combine more than one wife, you're allowed to do it by halakhically. This wasn't a bright idea, unless you were really able to deal with more than one wife. You're allowed to do it, you're allowed to have more than one wife. It's not a simple thing, but the halakha is. You have to know the halakha. So here too with the king, the halakha is one thing, but then something to what you're actually going to do in practice is also to use your brain, to be sensible about it. So here, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Gemara is proposing, the Rabbi Yehuda Doresh, he explains the reason. He expounds reasoning the pasuk, and that's the reason. Based on that, he has his halakha. Based on the fact of the reason. The reason is the key thing. The reason is what's driving the law. Right? That's the driver for the law itself. You've got a law, but when does the law apply? According to the reasoning. According to the... What's in the driving seat here? In the driving seat is that they don't turn away your heart. So long as they don't turn away your heart, this lo yubeh lo nashim doesn't apply. You can go above 18 because this is the main criteria. That's the main thing. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says that this applies below 18. Right? Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow you to go past 18 on any account. But below 18, I say you're not allowed to have number 13, 14, or 15 if they turn away your heart. Or number 3, 4, or 5. Or number 1. Right? So he's going before 18. So the halakha that you're not allowed to increase above 18 is still the main issue. That's in the driving seat. Right, that's the main halakha, according to Tanakhama. That's what it means, lo yubeh lo nashim. It means 18 maximum. So Rabbi Shimon still says 18 maximum, that's the law. Within that fixed law, you should know there's an additional law that makes it even more strict, that you're not allowed even 18 if they turn away your heart. That's what the second bit comes from. That's not the driver for the law, that's the additional criteria that you add on once you've got the basic law. Rabbi Shimon says no, the basic law is based on the reason, which is that they don't turn away your heart. If they don't turn away your heart, then fine. That's it. There's no 18. There's no threshold of 18. It does not apply to Rabbi Yehuda. It does not doesn't come into his service after 18, right? 18 minimum, and then he can go on after that. Does that make sense? As to why we say Rabbi Yehuda is basically his halakha. They're giving halakha, right? These are three different pesachim, right? They're standing before the king, three different rabbis, the Tanakam, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and the king saying, can I have another one, please? Right? And they're all saying different things. Tanakam says, depends, what number is she? Number 17? Yeah, fine, no worries. Go for it. Don't you want to ask what she's like, whether she's a underwater? No, no, no. What number is she? 17, 16? Fine. Rabbi Yehuda, he's standing there, and he says, what number is it? And the king says, number 27. And he says, okay, 27, fine, that's okay, but is she going to turn away your heart? No, no, she's a good girl. Fine, you can have her. Right? Rabbi Shimon.
You could also have 18 wives who have already turned it.
Yes, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's only number 19 that you have to start worrying about her characteristics. And before then, you can go take who you like. Number 19 onwards, you have to start worrying about it. Why? Why did he say that? Not because he's... Because he knows that this means that you're allowed 18. He holds like the Tanakhama, you're allowed 18. Stand, there's no rules. You're just like you and me. There's no rule that says you can marry someone as long as she doesn't turn your heart away. Marry someone, marry. Good head. There's no additional criteria. There's not for a king either, up to 18. After 18 is when you need to start worrying, according to Rabbi Huda's understanding of that passive. Rabbi Shimon says, no, that's not what a passive means. A passive comes to tell you that the king has to be aware even of one, which is even more strict than an individual. Because we don't have this, according to Rabbi Shimon, we don't have this rule that she doesn't turn away your heart. There's no passive that says about an individual, you can marry who you like as long as she doesn't turn away your heart. Rabbi Shimon says that for a king there is. The king has to be careful. She doesn't turn away his heart, even the first one. Okay, so that's their three different opinions. On. So now the question in the Gemara says, can we say from this Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda, he does Doresh Pasukim, he does explain Pasukim according to their Tan, according to their reasoning, but Rabbi Shimon doesn't? How does that work? What are we saying? We're saying Rabbi Yehuda is explaining this Pasuk according to its Tan, and Rabbi Shimon isn't. Rabbi Shimon's not basing it on the Tan. Basing it on the simple halakha, but Rabbi Yehuda is basing his law on the Tan. Right, the Tan is what takes precedence. Is that good? See the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in terms of the question that Gemara is asking.
I can't understand Rabbi Shimon is saying that you can have as many as you want, but you have to. But you can't take any if you're going to turn your heart away. Even one. Even if before you reach the 18,
you could say before 18 and after.
You have to go as many as you want until the whole take one is going to turn you away from the king. You've got a job, you're representative of a job. And therefore, he doesn't donate it according to Pasuk, which says you can have 18.
Morning.
So the article goes on, I think, if I understood. Let's have a look and see if I understood. I don't know, there's just two. So it's a machloket about how you understand the Mishnah. right? Because there's two possible ways of understanding Mishnah. You can say that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are discussing the first opinion, and they both hold 18. No. Whether or not they're the machoket between them, whether or not they hold by one holds 18 maximum, right, Rabbi Shimon, like we said, and one holds no, even more 18. And the difference between them is based on this reasoning of where you put this. Or you can say, like you said, that they both say after 18, even more than 18 is fine. So they both disagree with the Tanakhama. And it's only where you put this. Then I'm not sure on that. It doesn't make so much, it's not so clear. Because the reasoning as to where you start to before 18 or after 18. No, you can also say that. But maybe then let's see. And then it might be that if you go that way, because the Gemara doesn't mention that way, maybe that the question of the Gemara doesn't work if you say that way. Because the way I'm explaining it anyway is that the question of the Gemara is based on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda, his precedence to Lo Yasur Dvar, Rabbi Shimon doesn't. So, possibly, don't know. I'm going to put that in a question mark. It may be that you could explain the Mishnah very quickly. Maybe. Okay. So, good morning, everyone. I have a fan in your face instead of me today. Okay. So this question that the Gemara is now asking is a pretty fundamental question in terms of interpretation. Right? Does a Tana interpret verses based on reasoning or not? Generally speaking, we usually avoid reasoning, as we know from this week's parsha, last week's parsha, Hukat, right? Laws of the Torah don't have reasons, they are what they are, right? And if you start with reason, unless you're a Tanna maybe, right, it's not, doesn't go well. But it may be here that we can see that there is a place to determine a halacha based on reasoning. Reasoning for the halacha. So maybe we can say from here, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda holds Darish Ta'am, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold Darish Ta'am. Okay? So that's the proposal that the Gemara wants to set up as an option that we're now going to see if that's true. So what does the Gemara, how does it deal with that? First of all, it questions it, says, wait a minute, Vaha. Hold on a minute, behold, Vaha.
I'm sorry, where are you?
We are 21A1.
We're 21A, right, okay.
21A1 in the Gemara, the second paragraph of the Gemara.
Okay.
Yes. My second paragraph is there.
Okay.
Tov. Baha. Baha.
Okay.
Yes. Baha if ipcha shemeinan lehu. But wait a minute. Ipcha, the opposite. Hefech. Shemeinan lehu, we've heard. We've heard the opposite from them. Not the opposite writer, but the opposite logic, right? We said that Rabbi Yehuda holds by the explanations of meanings. And Rabbi Shimon doesn't. But wait a minute, if you want to say that, I can tell you a brighter where apparently it's the opposite is the case. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold by the time, and Rabbi Shimon does. Where's that brighter? The Tanya was taught in a brighter. Almana, a widow. Bein shehi aniya, bein shehi ashira. Whether she's poor, whether she's rich. Ein mashkinin ota. We don't take a mashkon. It's a mashkon?
Security.
A security. A mashkanta. We don't take a mashkanta. We don't take security from her. What's a security?
So like your collateral?
For a loan. If she wants to, but she's a widow, she needs to borrow 100 shekels, and in order that you can be sure that you're going to get your 100 shekels back, you borrow from her, you take some collateral, that she gives you the money back. Now what happens? Depends what collateral it is. You're not allowed to take a garment. The Torah specifically says, the Gemara continues, Shine'emar, Lo tachvol beged almana. You shall not take the garment of a widow as security. Right? In the old days, there wasn't a lot to take as security. Right? There wasn't people didn't have. What do you want to take? You want to take my watch, you want to take my wallet, you want to take the car, the iPhone, the TV, the stereo, the candlesticks. Right? But in the old days, what did a person have? He had the cloak on his back, and that was it. Right? We have no clue how we're living today. Right? In the old days, if someone was loaning money, it's because they didn't have anything else apart from the cloak on their back. So the Torah says, don't take the cloak away from them. What happens? Actually, it says if you do take the cloak from a poor person, elsewhere in the Torah, it says if you take the cloak of a poor person as security, what do you have to do?
You have to return it at night.
You have to return it every night because that's not only his cloak, it's his blanket, right? So why do you have to return it at night so that he can look at it while he goes to sleep? No, it's his blanket, right? That's the reason you have to return it. He sleeps on it and do it, right? It's all in one, cloak, blanket, right? So you have to return it to him at night. So that's the reason why we don't take it from a widow. Right? Because you're going to have to return it to her at night. Poor widow. Right, from a poor widow. So we're going to see, we've now said that whether she's poor or rich, but we're going to see how that fits in with the whole svara about what's going on. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Rabbi Yehuda, that's our Rabbi Yehuda. The same Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says, whether she's poor or rich, we don't take from her. Rabbi Shimon on there, Ashira Mashkinanata, from a rich one you can, Aniya E Mashkimata, but from a poor woman you can't. Va'ata Chayav Lachzela, and you must return it to her. Why? It says, why the case of the poor woman you can't? Because you are obligated to return it to her. But b'shchenotera. You will give her a bad name amongst her neighbors. If she's poor, you're going to give her a bad name amongst her neighbors because you have to return it. If she's rich, you don't have to return it. She doesn't need it to sleep on. She's got plenty of quilts, blankets, whatever she needs. You don't have to return it every night. So Rabbi Shimon says, you can loan to a poor woman, but not to a rich woman, but not to a poor woman. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, rich or poor. So it seems the Gemara is going to explain now. It seems that they now have different opinions in terms of what's going on here. But Amrina Maikama and the and we said, my kama, this is what he's saying, Rabbi Shimon's saying. Sorry, my kama, we asked, what's he saying? Hachi kama, this is what he's saying. Mitoksha tamashkana, from the fact that you are taking security from her. Atacha yev lachzila, you're obligated to return it to her each day. Batamasiya shem rabbim shkinotera. And therefore you'll give her a bad name amongst her neighbors. Alma, But however, we see, Rabbi Yehuda, not a rish talmudic rab. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't expound the meaning of the verse. Rabbi Shimon darish talmudic rab. Rabbi Shimon does. So let's just see that inside. How can we say here that Rabbi Shimon does expound the verses and Rabbi Yehuda doesn't? It's quite clear. Rabbi Shimon gives his ruling on the halakha according to the underlying reason. If there's a problem caused by this ruling, by this halakha, so you can't do it. Right? The reason, the halakha itself leads to a problem. That's the reason for the halakha. So you don't cause a bad name. And that's only in the case of a poor woman. But if that reasoning doesn't apply, like in the case of a rich woman, you're allowed to do it. So he goes according to the Tam. And Rabbi Yehuda, who we thought goes according to Tam, seems to not. He says, rich or poor, we don't do it. It's a blanket law. The Torah says, don't do it. So you don't do it. Right? Don't take a mashkon. When the Torah says, don't take a mashkon, they're both expounding that verse in the Torah. Right? They both saw the same verse in the Torah. Don't take a mashkon from a widow. How did they deal with it? So now Rabbi Shimon says, you're right, it says don't take a mashkon. What does it mean? It means where it's going to cause a problem, where the reason is problematic. So Rabbi Shimon is taking the verse and saying, what's the reason for this verse? And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, you don't analyze the Torah, what the reason is. If the Torah says, don't take a verse, don't take a collateral from a widow. You don't take a collateral, Sam, hock. We don't expound reasoning. You're right, there could be reasonings, but that's not, we don't make the halakha based on reasonings. That appears to go contrary to our Mishnah. Well, seems to be the opposite of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda says, V'lo yasir levavo. That's the primary consideration, that she doesn't turn your heart away. That seems to be a reason. And it seems to be that he's giving his halakha based on the reason. What's going on? So the Gemara is like, wait a minute, so what's going on? Two different Rabbi Yehuda, he changed his mind. Rabbi Yehuda has to have a shita. His shita has to be the whole of Shas. Rabbi Shimon also has to have the whole of Shas. As opposed to our proposed shita. The Gemara said, can we say from this Mishnah, ... And now we're saying, apparently you can't. So we have to answer that, well, what's going on here? Gemara has an answer. Ba'alma, the Gemara says, actually, or generally, Rabbi Yehuda lo darish tama dekra. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't expound pasukim. Generally speaking, Rabbi Yehuda follows a shita, a shkofa, like we just learned in this brayta. He holds to the strict law. He doesn't expound reasonings. Veshani hacha de mefarish tama dekra. Over here, it's different. Here is Yotzei Min HaKlal. Here, where Rabbi Yehuda does, apparently, this is outside of his normal reasoning. Normally, he doesn't expound reasonings. He takes a straight halacha, and the halacha says, you're not allowed to take a mashkon from a mashkanta, from an almana. That's it. Rabbi Yehuda does not expound reasonings. He goes with the straight letter of the law. Over here, not. Over here, he comes outside of his shita. Why? There's a good reason. The Gemara says. Over here, not. Shani Hacha, it's different over here. Right? Gemara says, but over here, the Gemara says, in our Mishnah, it's different. Over here, the Mafaresh Tama, he does. What?
In the first in our Mishnah, the reasoning is in the Pasuk. It's the longest to live above. In this one, it just says, Sokra, maybe I missed it, maybe there's more to the Pasuk about the Yamana. But the Yamana doesn't talk about a mature form one. It says, so far, just.
So Rabbi Abraham here is at his witty flakes this morning. Daven well, shacharit, and you're giving the reason that the Gemara is going to give. Very good. So very good learning. When you come to in your learning, you see that you got to the answer before the Gemara gave. You're on the right track. The Shama is with the learning. So that's a difference. There's a difference here. Normally, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't doresh the pasukim. You're right. He says the law is the law, except over here. Mata'am lo yubren hashim. Over here, what's the reason why you don't increase women? Mishum, because the lo yasol avon. Because the pasuk says specifically that it gives you the reason why. If the pasuk says specifically, so then that's come to tell you that's the reason. You can base the law on the reason. The pasuk doesn't give you a reason. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not for me to start inventing reasons. What I think the reason of the pasuk is. I don't do that. Rabbi Shimon different. Rabbi Shimon does have a shita that way. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have the shita that way, unless the pasuk itself tells you the reason. But Rabbi Shimon, what's Rabbi Shimon going to say? Why did Rabbi Shimon switch his shita? Rabbi Shimon, who does Doresh Pasukim, apparently in our Mishnah doesn't. Why not? Mikadi. Let's see. Ba'alma Darshina and Tamadikra. Rabbi Shimon says generally we do expound the reason, right? Rabbi Shimon does have a view that we do expound the reasons for the Pasukim. And that is relevant when you consider what the halacha is. But over here, different. In Ken, if so, Lichtov Kra, the Pasuk should have written, Lo Yuba Lo Nashim, Velishtok. The Pasuk would have written, don't increase wives, and then would have stayed silent, and it wouldn't have given the reason. Vana Ana Amina Ma Ta'am Lo Yarbe, and I would have understood the reason for the not to increase. Mishum de Lo Yasir. Is in order that you don't turn your wives away, turn your heart away. So why does the pasuk come along to tell me superfluously to give me a reason that it doesn't need to give me? It comes along, afilu achat masirat libar hareza lo yisane. It comes to teach me that even one that she turned your heart away, you should marry her. Sorry, why does it say? Sorry, loy. I missed a little bit out. Loy asir lamali. Why does it say lamali? I added it in myself. Such in the Gemara. Why does it say that? Why does it say loy asur then? Right? Why does it say loy asur? Afilu achad mesira levo harei loy sena. That's what the Mishnah comes to teach. The evil one, if she turns your heart away, you may not marry her. Elamama kayeman loy aver. And then the end bit is the Gemara is. Why did it say Lo Yaveh? Afilo Abigail, even like Abigail. So Rabbi Shimon says that the reason now comes as a limit. Before, if the Gemara if the pasuk doesn't provide a reason, I'm free to expound and expand the halakha according to the reasoning. But once the Torah gives me a reason on the spot, then that comes to limit, not to expand. Comes to limit the options rather than to expand the options. If that makes sense. It's not an exact sug of that. I think you'll find the neder that there's very similar when something comes to increase or to limit. No air conditioning today? Yeah, no, so I don't think it is. I don't think it's one of those. But it's the same principle applies. The same principle which is in there is if you have something which expands after something which limits, or a limit after an whichever way around it is, that it comes to do the opposite. You thought it was coming to make it wider, actually comes to make it more narrow. The fact that the pasuk here gave you the reason comes to limit and not to expand, which is the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon takes this reasoning and uses it to expand from the basic halakha. Right? See that? There's a basic halakha which is you're allowed 18. What does the reasoning do? So Rabbi Yehuda says that the reasoning comes to expand from the halakha. You've got the halakha of 18, you can expand from there because of this reasoning. Lo yasur levavot. That means you can take the simple halakha and expand on it. You've got the simple halakha, you've got the halakha, and now you've given me this extra bit. This is extra, you don't normally get this. You don't normally get, and the reasoning. Why does the Torah give you the reasoning? Rabbi Yehuda says, give me a reason why I expand on it. I can now take more than 18 based on this reason. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's not usual to get this, and why does it come to here? It comes to limit. That's your basic, you can have 18. This comes as a limit, it doesn't come to expand. Even within that 18 that you would have been allowed, even within it, you've got this limit. Two different ways to understand what the Torah is coming to teach me when it adds in something superfluous. There's a superfluous bit which I now have to expound, right? It's a Torah of the Pasukim, teach me something that you don't need to teach me. I have to know what to do with it. What are you trying to tell me? So, different shita, whether it comes to expand the scope of the law or come to limit the scope of the law.
That's it?
Okay. The Rav Shimon said, no, the other one. Something that comes out of the classic in order to give you an example of one of it. It's not the classic example.
Something that...
Right. So this is not the same. Normally you're talking about, right? All things are kosher, and then you say, except for one thing. You pull out the one thing. What's the one thing? Why do you tell me one thing? In order to be more strict or more lenient, depending on what the context is, if it's part of the same cloud, or not part of the same cloud.
How do they turn away your
heart?